Let me welcome you to our Sunday evening time together in God's Word. Let me share with you also, we have a Wednesday evening service that we want you to tune in and be part of that. Logan actually preaches that message and instructions at that time. I know you'll enjoy that specialty. It's at Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Connect to that. This message is connecting to a disconnected society. I'd like to preach this just to youth. Youth today is interpersonal communication is a thing that's gone by. So I want to help you to understand some things about interpersonal communication, connecting. You ever have, and I have this every once in a while, one of these long nights that you just can't sleep. Just lay there and the records just keep playing in your head and you can't get over it. So you get up and you turn on TV. You know what's on TV about 3 o'clock in the morning? Wrestling. And to make it worse, religion without Jesus on at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so you sit there and you watch that for a couple hours or a half hour or so, whatever you're real. And you always ask the question, can this be real? Is this authentic? Is this a real thing? Gee whiz, 3 o'clock in the morning. I've been spreading out my radio broadcast ministry at different radio stations, and I was offered a radio spot, pretty cheap, at 3:30 in the morning. And I said, I'm a preacher that goes fishing all the time, but I don't know if anybody's biting at 3:30 in the morning. And so 3:30 in the morning, weird things happen. And so I want to know the question, is this real? Authentic communication. You know, communication, I took a class years ago Purdue University of Northern Indiana about interpersonal communication. I was going to do a major in communication, and I did psychology instead. I wish I'd have stayed with communication sometimes. But interpersonal communication. Communication isn't so much what you say, it's what people hear. And they can hear a lot of different things. You ever say something and people just don't get it? Don't listen to it? You've been married for a little while. Your wife talks all the time, and she swears up and down, you never get it. It just kind of goes in and out. So communication is what we say and communicating what we said in the right form. And so interpersonal communication is so important. As a matter of fact, in order for Jesus to be real in people's lives, he is a personal relationship with God. Jesus is that risen from the dead, Holy Spirit that comes in our lives. That's authentic. It's the real thing. And so we communicate with God. He writes us the Bible. He communicated through the Word. He communicates through circumstances. In pandemics, he communicates. In tornadoes, he communicates. He communicates through people, through the church. He all the time communicates through prayer. See, God is always personal. He's always listening for us, and we always need to be talking to him and listening to him through the ways he speaks back to our lives. Today, communication in the social media, it's alarming when you look up how many tweets happen every year, every day in the world. How many Facebook hits, YouTube, texting, billions and billions and billions. I share with you and I talk to staff and people with me, texting to me is not communication, it's information. And sometimes all we need is information. But most of the time, we need some communication. And so people today don't know the art of speaking to one another. Our younger generation, they can't look you in the eye and talk to you. They text you all day. They'll give you a tweet. They'll hook up with you on Facebook. But sitting down and carrying on a conversation, you know why? Conversation is a lot of responsibility. You got body language. You got pressure. If you can text me, there's no pressure. I said it, I'm done. Communicating, there can be back and forth. There can be disagreements. There can be growing. There can be sharing. See, communication is something that interacts with people that makes a difference. And if anything I want to share with you, when we are sharing Jesus, interpersonal communication is very important. I believe we need to use all the social media we can use. As you are watching this on TV, live streaming on Facebook. That's wonderful. But let me share this with you. If all you do is sit home and watch live streaming and never get involved in a church, in the kingdom, I don't know if that's really connecting. Something about connecting with God that we want to be able to participate in what he's up to. We may be part of what he's doing. He doesn't talk to us like we're robots and we just say, yes, I agree or I don't agree. He speaks to us so he can change our lives. So we can forgive people. So we can love people. So we can be different. So we can be free. So we don't have to be bullied or pushed into a mold. God can change us. And so communicating is so important. When a personal connection comes, it matures us. It makes us different. Now, in marriage, communication is everything. I really believe this. The vehicle love rides on is communication. What good is love if it's not communicated? I'm glad when God loved me, he didn't text me. He didn't send me a tweet. He didn't live stream me. He touched me and changed my life. So see, I want you to understand, when we really communicate the connection, the vehicle love rides on is communication. And if your vehicle's got a flat tire, it's bumpy communication. If your vehicle don't have any tires, you've barely got any communication. And so I want to help you to understand this. Real connections changes lives. Real friendships make a difference. Man, to sit down with a friend and fellowship and to talk and experience and agree and disagree and be free to disagree without judgment. Maybe that's the reason we don't want to communicate. We don't trust people enough that we can really lay out our souls and they won't hang us out to dry. And so we just give them enough information, but we really don't connect. And so I want to help you to understand this. I want to help you know that life is not superficial. Life is just not some words in the air. We're creatures, and we need to be needed, but we need one another to talk to and to love through this. I've done counseling for many, many years. There was times in my ministry where I counseled 20 to 30 hours a week. And I met a lot of hurting people, a lot of broken people, a lot of people who've been hurt in relationships. A lot of people have been hurt in a lot of different ways. And they were afraid to get back in another relationship. And so, many of them would come back in and tell me they joined Facebook. They found 10 new friends this week on Facebook. I used to tell them, that's really not friends. There's no skin in the game. See, to communicate, there's got to be some skin in the game somehow. And I'm not against Facebook. Too much drama for me. Too much tit for tat. Too much junk. I am on Facebook. I do have a Facebook page. I don't go to me and try to get on it because I just have it for one reason. When I joined Facebook, my children and grandchildren on Facebook cleaned up their act a little bit. And put a little pressure on the storm. All right? And so, see, I just want them to know that I know. I hear that. I pay attention. And my grandson says, Grandpa, I want you to friend me, Zach. I'm going to be your friend. No, Grandpa. I don't want you to be my friend. No. I said, I'm a real friend. No. You know, I got different friends on Facebook. I said, I know what you got on Facebook, but I want to be right in the middle of it. I want to communicate with you. I want to touch you. I want to love you. I want to help you. And I tell you what my grandchildren did, and I'm not against it at all. They got off Facebook. They didn't want to be connected with me. I understand that. You know what peer pressure is? Peer pressure is when you walk in a room and all the pressure of that room that their values and normals or maybe not godly. And so you get all this pressure to conform to their ways. Peer pressure is thicker than blood. You can have peer pressure as your mom and dad tells you don't do this, and you can go in the peer pressure room and you do exactly what your parents told you not to do. Peer pressure is tough. Here's how I want to see myself. In the years of ministry, I've been in a lot of places. I had some people who had alcohol problems and stuff, and I was close enough to them, I'd go in the bar and pull them out. A couple of times, my wife would call me, and one day I'd go in that bar, and the bartender says, "Are you a police officer?" I said, "No, sir, I'm a Baptist preacher." I am the pressure in that room. I became the pressure in that room. I wasn't about to bow to that pressure. And so if you're godly and you're walking with God and all the peer pressure of this world is trying to conceal you or quiet you, the God in you can ray out of you with love and kind words, and sweetness. But why don't you be the pressure? Why don't you communicate the love of Christ in a hard place? See, communication is in hard places, the reason why we don't do it. We just seem to be silent so we don't have to take the pressure. Aren't you glad Jesus thought enough to die on a cross so he could take the pressure so I could talk to him and talk about him everywhere I go? Isn't it something how the world silences me? Because all I want to do is give information. I don't want to connect. Because it's a disconnected world. It's so disconnected. We've come a long way from the days that have gone by. Real relationships, real kingdom of God. You know how come, I say this often, the number one reason people don't go to church, because they've been. And they got in bad communication. They got hurt. Things happened. It happens to everyone. It happened to Jesus. He actually died on a cross because of this stuff. And we don't want to deal with all that. So we just stay home and turn on the TV and think we're worshiping. Communication is when you have some skin in the game. When you can disagree, when you can agree, when you can affirm, when you can encourage, or you can correct. And so we have a generation of younger people today that doesn't want to get involved in that. And so they distance themselves through medias that isn't personal. That medias that isn't interpersonal. And the only way I know to share Jesus is interpersonally. Powerful. So I want to help you today how to figure out the questions. How do you connect with the kingdom of God? First of all, you must be born again. You must become saved. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran. I don't care what denomination you are. But the time in your life when you realize you were lost and sin was dominating your life and you want to get out of it because it was hurting you, you was in trouble. You needed help, and you asked Jesus to come in your life, born again. And so through the Holy Spirit of Christ, through this book, you know when God decided to be interpersonal communication to us, you know what he did? He wrote a book called the Bible. The number one bestseller in all the world always will be the number one bestseller. And you know what I like about it? In all of my textbooks in college, I could pick up my textbook, go back to that class. It wouldn't even mean we're close to what I learned 20 years ago. You know, like I read this Bible? Because it hadn't changed ever, never, never. See, he wrote a book for us. He interpersonally communicated and spoke through people, spoke through prophets, spoke through apostles, spoke through sinners. And to interpersonally connect this, because when I preach to you, I preach to you the written word of God by God's power and authority into our lives. I read you a letter that God wrote to us. That's personal. That's intimate. And let me share this with you. I'm kind of from the old school. But if I really want to connect with the members of a church, I don't text them and email them. I give them information when it needs to be. But I write them a letter. Let me tell you something. A written letter from my heart to your heart means a lot more than anything you'll get in a text or email. There's something about it that personally I wrote a letter to you. That makes a difference. I put myself out there. You can disagree with me. You can dislike what I say, but I wrote it to you. It's that personal. That's what it's all about. And we don't know how to get that personal. We're afraid. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid that I won't be accepted. And so we just try to socially blend in without interpersonal lives. But communication is the love of God. It is through our lives, through our actions, through our words, and through our lives. Here today, most likely you're connected to people or a person that you like, that you hang with, that socially meets your standards. And I'm glad of that. I hope you have a lot of friends. Here's what I learned in personal communication. I was about 20 years of age. I had a lot of friends. I had a fast car. I had a good job. Man, I was popular. Had a lot of friends. But my interpersonal communication teacher, her name was Dr. Backus. And she looked at me, and I was kind of a little bit older than the rest of that class when I was going through the time. She says, "Now, how many friends do you have, Mr. Davis?" I said, "Well, I don't know. Probably 50, 60. She just laughed out loud. She says, "You don't have 50 or 60 friends." I said, "Sure I do." "No, you don't." She says, "If you go through life and end up with one or two good friends, you're ahead of the curve." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, you need to learn about interpersonal communication. Glad you're here." Interpersonal communication is when you communicate with somebody you trust. Somebody will accept you as what you say and how you are. And so, see, many of us have friends that are like-minded, family, usually not family, sometimes family, like-minded, that we can trust and help and connect to one another. But when it comes to this Jesus following, we're to connect with the world. Do you know anybody that you're befriending that isn't socially like you? See, I'm trying to get on radio stations and preaching, and I'm having a hard time in my ministry preaching sometimes on radio. I went on secular radio stations. I want them to hear the preaching of God's word, the truth of God's love, in a world that's not used to it. And I tell the radio stations, you'll never have a radio station that a good sermon won't help you to love people and to be loved. I try to sell it because the love of Christ needs to be heard not just by Christians, not just the people I like, not just the people I associate with or the people that I trust, but it needs to associate with people that are lost and going to hell. What did he save me for? To take me to heaven? He saved me so I can be light and salt in a messed up world. And my light could bring light to the darkness of their lives, and my love can literally help forgiveness and teach them forgiveness. See, if you just like a few people and you're really not connected to anybody outside you're not comfortable with, let me help you think about this. Let me help you think about loving people who can't even love themselves. Think about a person who is addicted to drugs and alcohol. Now, I'm not asking you to be some type of pastor or a psychologist. But I'm just asking you to get involved in the world's people a little bit at a time. How about a project? How about a person who's having a hard time and you've been praying for them? You know what happens? You pray for a person having a hard time? God will teach you how to talk to them. God will teach you how to love them because the Holy Spirit of Christ will open up in your life. See, you can't pray about a lost person without getting involved in their life. Sooner or later, you'll just find a way to weigh in. Just say, "I." You don't take your Bible and preach to them. You don't condemn them. You don't point out sin. You just become their friend. It goes a long way. It's interpersonal communications. You know what happens in churches? They're not very friendly. Because this person said something 3 years ago, and I'll never forget it. That person didn't show up when I had this going on, and that just broke my heart. So see, it happens in the secular world. It happens in the kingdom's world. Kingdom of communicating in a disconnected society. And the eviler we get and the further we get away from God, the least communication we will have with our community. And I'm an advocate to find out how to change that. This reason I'm preaching a message connected in a disconnected people. Connecting to broken people. We all sometime in our past have brokenness. We all have issues. We all have a day that we hope we weren't on TV for what we got caught doing. We all have instances in our lives. I challenge you to think about how to help people. If you're here and today in this pandemic and you're single, for whatever reason, you're probably real lonely. And it's lonely to be by yourself. We're afraid to even be in a crowd. We're afraid to even mingle. I pray for you. I pray for you. And I'm going to give you some ways to connect that work. I'm going to share with you simple things that go a long way for lonely, hurting people. I'm going to think if you're lonely, the best way to get over loneliness is love somebody and put yourself out there. It'll help. Ways to do that. So I'm going to teach you that. I want to teach you that today. And I want to go to the book of Philemon in the New Testament. I bet you didn't even know it was in there. It's just one little chapter, 25 verses. It's there, and I want to just share with you because Paul is teaching, talking about how to get connected in a disconnected society. He comes, and there is a guy named Onesimus that Paul's going to challenge to begin to love again and to be a part of what God's done in his life. So let me just share with you how God writes this out, how he scripts this out to us, how to connect a disconnected world. Number one, verse one, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. Paul opens it up. He says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. Christian to Christian. Paul doesn't say this, but he's in jail in Rome. He's a prisoner of Jesus Christ, but also he's a prisoner of the Roman government. He's sitting in jail. He's not having a pity party in jail. He's connecting. He's connecting in jail. He writes a letter to Philemon. Pretty neat. And Philemon's a Christian guy. He's a good Christian guy. He's helped Paul. They've kind of worked together. They were strong in their faith. But he's going to write him a letter. You know what? When you get a letter, it's good that they say hello. It's good to say, I missed you. But usually a letter is, I want you to do something. I want to connect with you. Got it? See, when I write a letter on this connected church, how to do a vision, I want something from you. I want to help you. But I'm going to write you a letter. So Paul's writing Philemon a letter about this guy named Onesimus. And Onesimus is a bad guy. As a matter of fact, he was a slave of Philemon. He was a slave, and Philemon owned him in those days. And you know what he did? He escaped. He's on the run. And if you were a slave owner in those days, as it was in the days of our Civil War and our civil unrest in America in those days where we had slaves, those horrible days in America's history. But if you run and you break away, they find you. They can kill you. And Paul's got this big idea. He's met Onesimus. And Paul led Onesimus to the Lord. He got saved. So this fugitive, this guy who was stolen, this guy who was a fugitive on the run, meets Paul, and Paul leads him to Jesus. And when he finds out from Onesimus that he was a slave running from Philemon, he was running from him, hiding from him. Paul's going to write him a letter. He's not going to ask how you doing, how's everything going over there. Hope you're doing well. He said, I got a problem here. I met this guy Onesimus, and you know him very well, but I want you to forgive him. Now, you know what forgiveness is? It's love's toughest work. It's love's toughest work. Now, Philemon and Paul were good buddies. They trusted each other. And Paul is taking a risk, taking a big risk. He's asking Philemon to do something that's hard. And he thought enough about it that he penned it in this letter. Got it? And so he's going to ask him to do something. He's interpersonal communicating with him. He's trying to make it as best as he can. He was connected to the King Jesus, and you know who Philemon was connected to? King Jesus. So he has some baggage. He has some issues in his life. And he wants him to take a risk and forgive somebody that's wronged him. You know, life begins when we can forgive somebody. That's when life really gets sweet, when you can let it go. Forgive them, not because what they did wasn't wrong. You forgive them because when Jesus died on a cross, he forgave me. And if he forgave me, I should be able to forgive you. Just he paid it forward. His dying on the cross paid for all of my forgiveness. As God cleansed me, he wants us to cleanse others. And so Onesimus was in a tough spot. Philemon could have got him, made him pay a penalty. Paul's asked to do something different. See, he's connecting Onesimus in the story. And Paul was trying to help Philemon grow, mature, become stronger. He connects the bond of love. 1 Corinthians 13, the whole chapter is about love, the greatest of these, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of love. Do you love somebody enough to tell them when they're wrong? You love somebody enough when you can tell them when they're hurting themselves? Or you don't want to get involved? Texting won't work. It may start the conversation, but you got to get some skin in the game. See, so, and this was happening in their life, this bond of love, and he begins to work in their lives. Let me read with you in verse 3. He says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God making mention of you always in my prayers. I'm always praying for you, Philemon. You're my guy, man. Think a lot of you. Hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Philemon, they say to me, man, you're working overtime. You're over there loving people, forgiving people. They're learning about Christ. They're growing, they're maturing, and I'm proud of you. Paul's encouraging Philemon that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Hey, Philemon, seems like to me you're hitting your marks, man. I'm proud of you. Paul's a seasoned guy. He's a seasoned Christian. He's sitting in jail. But he's encouraging Philemon. I kind of have a ministry that I do today. I encourage pastors. I work hard to encourage pastors. I know what Monday morning's like every week in my life. I encourage pastors because they just need it. Paul's encouraging Philemon in a very special way. Have you ever encouraged anybody yet? Who have you encouraged? Who have you stopped to think about and talked about how wonderful, what's going on? What are you doing? What are you doing about it? It helps to connect in that. Connecting always challenges us. In Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know what a peacemaker does? It gets in the mud with you. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know what Paul's doing right here? He's becoming a peacemaker. Have you ever helped somebody make peace? You have two friends that have been fighting, and you would like to see them in that fight. Have you ever thought about just maybe helping them to think about it and pray about it and maybe forgiving one another and helping them understand it? Or you just let them go? You know, when you're walking with Christ, you got to get connected. You can't just let it go. You got to get involved in lives. It changes everything. So Paul is now put it out there. And all of a sudden, he's going to ask Philemon, he's going to drop the hammer, listen to it. He's going to communicate. Verse 8, therefore, though I may be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting. Paul says, I'm being pretty bold. I'm taking a big risk. I'm going to ask you to do something you don't want to do. That's a peacemaker. I'm going to ask you to do something you don't want to do, is what he said. Yet for love's sake, I'd rather appeal to you, being such as one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who I've begotten while in chains. When Philemon heard the word Onesimus, I imagine he just says, ha, ha. He's found that sucker. He's been running from me. Paul's probably got him tied up over there so I can come get him. He mentions Onesimus. The communication has started. Who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. He was once worth nothing. He wasn't worth a dime. But now he's worth gold. To you and to me, he says. Now Philemon says, how in the world can he be everything to Paul? How can he be anything to me? He's escaped. He's a fugitive. He stole from me. He robbed me. He took my stuff and left. Paul says, I'm going to help you here, Philemon. I'm going to make you a better Christian. You know what he's doing? He's communicating. Skin in the game. Risk. But it's bowed down with love. Who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. I'm sending Onesimus back to you, Philemon. And don't put him in chains when you get him. Don't unleash your anger on him. I'm sending him back. Paul is trusting Philemon to do the right thing. Have you ever trusted somebody like that? That's communicating. That's a part of life. If you're 16 years of age and you don't know how to do that, how's it going to happen when you're 25? Can you really get that? When are you going to learn to put words together? When are you going to learn to speak your heart? When are you going to learn to try? Well, I'm not a very personal guy. I'm not a real big communicator. My wife, on my first date, she never spoke to me one time that I remember. You know the reason I took her out again? Just to make her talk. And then I told my mother, I said, Mom, I don't think me and Kathy could ever get together because she don't ever talk. My mom says, trust me, one day she'll talk a lot. And now our love affair has grown that we talk a lot. She's comfortable with me. She knows we don't always agree on everything, but she trusts me. It's communication. So it isn't that you are good with words, or maybe you're not very good with words. It'll still take words to get us together and trust. Philemon has been challenged. I'm sending him back to you, therefore receive him that is my own, whom I wish to keep with me, that on behalf he might minister to me in all my chains of the gospel. He helps me in prison, man. He's taking care of me while I'm chained here. He's ministering to me. But I'm going to send him back to you. Because it'd be better for him and you, better for you than me, and I'm going to miss him. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were by voluntarily. For perhaps he departed for a while from this purpose, that we might receive him forever. Receive him like this, no longer as a slave, no more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. How important is it going to be, Philemon, for you to reconcile with Onesimus? When you reconcile with Onesimus, the kingdom of God gets stronger. Your lives are better. Then listen to what Paul says. He trumps this right here. If you count me a partner, receive him as you would me. If we're partners in this kingdom, what I want you to do, Philemon, you receive him just like you would me. Open up your heart and love me. Love him. Here's how Paul handles this. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put it on my account. Paul says, I'll pay for it. It's so important for me to know that you love him, that he can be loved by you. And Paul says, I'm not doing this without understanding. If there's something that he needs to do, put it on my account. I'll do it for him. Now that's communication. That's friendship. That's trust. That's openness. Wouldn't you like to have a friend like that? Would you like to have several friends like that? Wouldn't you like to have someone you could really just trust? It's hard sometimes with parents. Parents know a lot about you, but your scheme in life when you're 16 is to make sure they don't know everything about you. But they usually do. You know why? They were 16 too. And they were just like you. Thank God they got over it. Thank God they grew up. But it's hard to be that. Sometimes parenting isn't best friends. Sometimes parents got to make tough calls that they don't like. But in the end, you'll be best friends. In the end, put it on my account. And so Paul's asked Onesimus to do something. It's Philemon to do something real big. He also asked Onesimus. You know what Onesimus was doing the whole time he was going back to see Philemon? I hope he don't throw me in prison. I hope he don't beat me. Onesimus is in limbo here. But Paul says, don't worry about it, Onesimus. I'll pay for whatever you can't pay for. I'll take care of it for you. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention you, that you owe me even your own self besides. Paul says, I'm writing this out with my own ink, my own pen. I'm going to send this letter to you from my heart to your heart. It's going to make a difference. It's going to connect. It's personal. It's intimate. It's taking a risk. It's growing. It's bonding together. That's how you do it in a disconnected society. You break all the norms and put yourself out there. I'm writing this in my own hand, Paul said. This is from my heart to yours, Philemon. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. You'll bless him more than I ask. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I will gather to you. Now, Paul's put it out there, and he's asking to make a commitment. Let me ask you to make a couple commitments today. Maybe you've been hurt real bad by a friend or by a loved one. I want you to make a commitment to get healed. I want you to ask God to heal me of that. God, forgive me of all this bitterness I carry. God, forgive me of all the things that I've taken in that's crushed me. God, help me to get past this. Help me become healthy. See, we have far too many unhealthy Christians trying to help broken people. And you can't really help broken people when you're not healthy, when you're not loving, when you're not forgiving, when you're not there. Don't ask anybody to do what you can't do. Paul says, I'm there. I'll pay for it. Think about becoming healthy. Think about walking close to Christ. Think about getting his cleansing from your life, giving you the peace and the power of Christ. Number two, commit to love again. My first girlfriend, when I was probably about 14 years old, we were going to church together. Her dad was a deacon. My dad was the preacher. She was a pretty girl, and I was a little boy. I just thought I fell in love. You know, when you're about 7, 8 years of age, it may be love, but it's puppy love. It ain't much, but it is puppy love. And one day she broke up with me. She said, I don't want to talk to you no more. Don't call me. I cried for days because she didn't love me. But when I found out, it's okay. You know what my mother told me? There's a lot of fish in the sea. Don't get stuck on one. Just keep fishing. A lot of fish in the sea. You'll find your lady. And help me. Make a commitment to love again. Don't become bitter. See, life either makes you better or bitter. Just one letter different in that word. If you're not careful, you've been hurt enough or you're bitter. And let me tell you the problem about being bitter. Everybody knows you're bitter but you. You're the only one don't know it. But life either makes you better or bitter, and you're bitter because somebody didn't love you or hurt you. Love again. Last. Make a commitment to take a risk for someone you don't know to help them. Make a commitment to take a risk. I'm not asking you to put yourself out there in limbo. I'm asking you to find somebody that you can take a risk and just maybe invite them to church. Invite them to a Bible study. Invite them to go watch a good movie with you. Just say hello to them. Just take a risk. Just take a risk. Then look across the room of your life. Write somebody a letter with your own pen. Write yourself somebody a letter. Somebody you haven't seen for a while, somebody you haven't talked to for a while, somebody that we've been separated from this pandemic, maybe your classmates. Zachary, my grandson, he was going to fifth grade. He told me, I said, Zachary, how you dealing with this? He says, he started crying. He said, I didn't get to tell my teacher goodbye, and I loved her. I said, Zachary, write her a letter. It'll rock her house. Write her a letter. And Zachary is going to write a letter. You can do that. Life's hard. Number two, be an encourager. Encourage people. Tell them they're doing a good job. Tell them you look nice. Be an encourager, not a discourager. Number three, be a peacemaker. If you know someone who's having a problem with each other, step up. Take a risk. Find a way to bring them back together again. Be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Churches are full of peacebreakers. It's hard to find a peacemaker. But be a peacemaker with the Spirit of God. Paul was. That's all he was doing. Making peace with Onesimus and Philemon. He was a peacemaker. Took a big risk. He said, I'll even pay the difference. And lastly, give yourself away and don't be afraid to be loved. So many people have been hurt so bad, they live in a penalty box because that love hurt. I talked in the early morning service, I met a guy at the gas station this morning on the way in. He was talking about going to church and stuff. He told me he'd lost a lot of loved ones this past year. Been hard on him. Here's what I told him. One day, my wife or I will stand at a graveyard. Either she'll stand at mine or I'll stand at hers. And we will hurt a lot. Can't imagine what that'll feel like. You just can't till you get there. But here's what I'll tell you. All the love that I had with her will make it worth it. Just love again. Just love again. Just put it out there. Sometimes it hurts. But boy, when you find somebody to love you back, it's worth the hurt. Communication that love rides on. Love rides on. It's communication. Just love again. Let it go. Let me go over it again. Make a commitment to heal yourself. Ask God for that. Make a commitment to love today. Try it again. Make a commitment to take a risk like Paul did with Philemon. Write a letter. Pen it with your own pen. Just say hello. Thinking about you today. Hope you're having a good day. Be an encourager. I heard that didn't go well yesterday in that exam. I heard the things didn't fit. Heard you didn't get the job. Be an encourager. Become a peacemaker. give yourself away. It's the only way to live. That's how to connect in a disconnected society. And if you don't do that, and you stay disconnected in all of this technology, your life will never amount to what God wanted to amount to. Aren't you glad old Paul trusted Philemon enough to throw it out there? It teaches me. In my personal life, and I share this with you, I always have, my wife will tell you, a broken person that I'm working with. Always. As a pastor, I had 1,000 members at Crossroads. I always had a lot of broken people. But I always focused on one or two. And I put my energy in it. I put my weight in it. I put my money in it. I put my love in it. I've been hurt so many times. They have stuffed me so many times. But I refuse to quit trying because God loves me so much. How could I ever refuse that? I refuse to not have somebody that I'm praying for, working for, helping. It's the only way I know to live my life. It gives me the passion to preach the Word of God because I don't sit on a pew. I rub it out. I write by pen. I visit. I call. I invest. I take chances with people. And my wife will tell you, I've been hurt. We've been hurt. We've had alcoholics live in our house for over a year at a time. Just bring them in and watch God work in their lives. We've always invested. Now, you're not me. You don't have to be me. But you got to help somebody. You got to try a little bit. You got to love. And it's dangerous to love because you can become hurt. And if you're afraid to love, when the lovemaker that gave you everything, ask God to put you out there. Think about it. Communicating in a disconnected society is doing the will and the bidding for Jesus with your personality and your abilities just as you are. Do something for the God who loved you. That's the message, how to connect in a disconnected world. Read the book of Philemon. Read it every day this week. Or Roxanne, we talk about scriptures to read every week. And maybe the book of Philemon. Psalms 122 is what we ask you to read, but maybe you want to read Philemon several times, just 25 or 26 verses, and it'll help you in a very special way to connect in a disconnected society. And if you think all your people on Facebook are your friends, you need to connect because they're really not friends at all until you're connected. And may God bless you with the power of the preaching of His Word. You know why? My God penned this for you and I to learn to become like it. Let's pray together. Father, we need your help. In a disconnected world that's so innovative, so many means to share, but Father, make it personal in our hearts. Tell us when and how. Father, help us to be real. Help us to invest in your kingdom. And not just like the people that we like. Anybody can do that. But let us love people who need love. Teach us how to do that. One way, one time, try it. Father, thank you for your grace and for your call on my life to communicate your love to other people. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hope this message was a blessing to you. It changed my life years ago when I studied this book. It changed my life. It taught me to have somebody on the hook. There's a lot of hurting people. And I can't fix them. I can't even fix me. But God can. That's the power of His love. God bless you.